Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And it's a blessing that He's mightily moving by His Spirit. Just like the days of Noah, people were going about their everyday routine. And the Lord separated His people from the world. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." And He separated the light from the darkness. And the darkness didn't comprehend the light. Even in our days, darkness don't comprehend the light. People that love the world, that don't believe, and those that refuse to believe, they can't see the logic behind believing on Jesus. They can't see how wonderful God's love is towards His people. And because they don't believe, they trust something. Everybody trusts something. I heard Kenneth Hagin say once Kenneth Copeland. He said, everybody's got a truster. They trust something. They trust their own mind, their own judgment, somebody else's judgment, parents, teachers, college professors, friends. They trust something. And the reason is why. I trust Jesus Christ. Even though I didn't see Him die for me 2,000 years ago, I have faith in Him. Because when I heard the gospel, there was something about it that stood out. That kind of love is not from around here. That kind of love is found in God. He left heaven, He left a good situation and came to help us in a bad situation. He became poor to help us out. And He took our place in hell, literally in the lowest part. And He did it as a man. And He got up from the dead. He was resurrected. So those who died believing in Him, they were saved. They believe in Him. They're going to rise first. And then which we are alive, which when He returns, we're going to be raptured away, caught away. And I've heard people say, well, the word rapture is not in the Bible, but the action of it is catching away. We're going to be caught up to meet Him in the air so that the judgment, then He's going to judge the world for rejecting Jesus Christ. Now, people in the world, they're not stupid. They're made in God's image just as much as we are, who love Him. And they can reason. Remember, man ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So people know what's good and they know what's evil. And it really wasn't God's will for us to learn about sin in the first place. The knowledge of sin was not necessary when man was innocent. Now Adam, he knew that the world had been judged before. That was evidence of it. That was evidence of societies. He saw the remains of societies all over the earth. And he lived 139 years before his first son Cain was born. And Cain was born after his fall. He had no children before the fall. So within that time, he had time to roam the earth. And remember, he walked perfectly with God. There was no sin here. So miracles was possibly a high part of his life. The Lord transporting him and he going from place to place probably was possible. On my side, looking back, is hypothetical. But when there's no restrictions of sin and it's just you and the Lord, you know, a lot of things can happen. And I know I've seen things, I know things by the Spirit. And I've seen other places by the Spirit. You know, there was a girl that went to Sunday school with me in church, at my daddy's church. Her name was Connie in Utah, Alabama. And you know, I had friends there. Rick and Rodney, they lived in the neighborhood and others. And we all went to Sunday school. But I stopped going when I was around 10 years old. And I hadn't been to Utah. I went to Utah very seldomly since then. I really hadn't seen them in years. I mean, a lifetime ago. I'm 54 now. But around 1994, possibly even 95, I think it was in 1995, I was in my shop in Birmingham. I had a shop, an auto mechanic shop, downtown, 6th Avenue. And the address was 701 6th Avenue North. But I was there one day, sunny day, working. And I saw Connie's face. The Lord had given me a vision. I saw her face. And He said, pray for Connie. So I stopped what I was doing and I earnestly prayed for Connie. I prayed in the Holy Spirit. And I believe I prayed until I felt relief. That something had worked, that God was able to do something. See, the Lord can't do what He wants to. He has to get somebody, if He wants to do a miracle for somebody, He has to get somebody to believe Him for it. And He wanted to operate on Connie's behalf, so he had me to pray for. And it happened twice. And my mother was living then, and I told her about it. And then she was still going to Utah, Alabama at that time. Or she still was talking to people that were there. I forgot what year my dad started. He had started pastoring in Birmingham, in Village Springs, in Palmerdale. And they still had communication with people there. And he was telling me how kind she had gotten, somebody was trying to get her in trouble. I guess it was City Hall or something. But I said the Lord had me pray for her twice. And I saw a vision of her face. I told my mother this. And then she told me some things that was going on, but I don't know what all was going on. And come to find out, I saw Connie on TV. And she was walking as if she was going to court or something. But the Lord, in order to work on our behalf, He has to get somebody to believe Him. Now, in the spirit, we're connected. Because the Lord, if whoever is looking to the Lord, they're connected with others. And my pastor was in an airplane going to Haiti to preach. He and Frank Matchin. And his son, the Lord woke him up in the middle of the night and had him to pray in the Holy Spirit until he knew that it was done. And he prayed in the Holy Spirit until he knew it was all right. And he found out that in the airplane, an engine went out over the ocean. And he was praying in the Holy Spirit so that the Lord could rescue his dad and his and Frank Matchin as they were going on their ministry trip. Thank God for people who yield to the Holy Spirit. Now, he didn't know what it was. He just knew it was something that the Lord woke him up for to pray. And he prayed earnestly in the Holy Spirit. And then when they got back, he found out what it was about. During the time he was praying, they were having engine trouble. But the engine came back on. And they were able to make it where they were going. Now, another time, a friend of mine the night that my friend Lucky Davis died, the Lord woke me up and had me earnestly praying in the Holy Spirit. And I prayed till I started laughing. Now, when the Lord do that, I don't stop praying in the Holy Spirit until whatever it is conquered. Kenneth Hagin, he used to say, if you'll have a note of praise when you won. Well, I prayed till I started laughing. And I don't stop yielding to the Holy Spirit till I start laughing. Or that note of praise that, you know, it's like, if you know that there's, if the Holy Spirit senses, if you sense an urgency from the Holy Spirit, you can also sense a relief. And you start rejoicing in the Holy Spirit. Some people rejoice, some people praise, and they praise God and dance in the Holy Spirit after it's over with. But I prayed, I started laughing. I know that I've conquered whatever it is. I know that the Lord was able to do something about the problem. Well, as soon as I went to sleep, I dreamt that Lucky wasn't in the hospital. He was back at work in the break room playing jokes like we usually do. And I said, man, you're supposed to be in the hospital. And come to find out later on that day, Roger came and told us that Lucky had passed. And he passed that right after I got through praying in the Holy Spirit. He died that night. And a friend of mine at work, Sid, had the same kind of dream I did. And the Lord gives two. That's two references that, you know, that he had either rededicated his life to the Lord or he got saved that night. And because he didn't live like a Christian would. He did a lot of things, and you know, when he was sick in the hospital, I was praying for him. But the Lord woke me up and had me praying in the Holy Spirit. And that's not the only time that has happened. When the Lord alert me to something, I know that you know, people can be blessed. But the Lord don't do that for everybody, because some people, they just harden their heart and there's nothing there to work with. But when there's something, when people have heard the gospel and they still don't respond, they told God, no, thank you. There's not much for God to work with. When you tell people about Jesus and they start talking about all these other things that they want to do, or other religions or other mindsets, what they're saying is, no, thank you. They're going to just tough it out the way that they know, the way that they trust. And then the Lord tells me, let those that be holy, let them be holy still. And let those that be filthy still. Now, when a person say no, there's nothing I can do about it. And I try hard to get people in. I pray for people, and that won't work. When they hear the gospel, either they're going to respond or they're not. Now, I can rebuke the spirit of blindness. I can teach the word of God. I can live the life. And all that works to help people go to heaven. But at the end of the day, it's their decision, not mine. And in raising my children, I presented them with the facts. And they believed on Jesus at an early age. And I taught them the ways of God. But they have, just like you get saved at an early age, you have to stay dedicated to the Lord. Now, people they change their mind and opinions. They let these college professors change their minds and opinions. You know, college is nothing. Satan uses college, the lack of knowledge in the people that teach, and the, you know, professors and who are the deans, whoever was over the college. He used that deception to deprogram our children. And I taught my children that at college, they're going to try to teach you against Jesus. I said, Satan's got them in his hand. Now, some people they love God, and nobody's gonna turn them around. If somebody turned you around, it's because that's what you wanted to do. If they got you out of faith, it's because that's what you chose. People can't make you. That's why in the tribulation period, you're going to have to take this mark. You're going to have to take the tattoo of Satan. The false prophet is going to call. People are going to be wanting to believe something. Their pride is not going to let them believe on Jesus. That's why they got left here in the first place. Because they put their own pride, their own will first. And they're not looking. They're not going to go back and look and say, well, hey, we missed it. And let's believe on Jesus. They're going to look for something else. And that's where the devil's going to get them. And there are many people that's going to... Now, people have heard about these things. And it's possible that some of them might get saved. But I believe the one... And I was taught that the people who do get saved in the tribulations are the ones that never heard about Jesus in the first place. But the people who knew better, they didn't do better. They didn't do right when they knew it, when it was preached. They always saw other preachers that would preach what they wanted. And they drifted from the counsel of God's word. Even though they were going to church, they went to an altar church. You know, my pastor was talking about the seeker friendly, the seeker friendly church. How they let people sin and they don't say anything and they try to get along. That's a compromised church. It becomes a den of thieves. And they put on a religious mask. We love everybody. I love everybody too. And I want people to know God on His terms, not mine and not theirs. So I'm going to tell you, you got to live right. You're going to have to do right. Jesus didn't save you so you can live like a demon. He didn't save us to live an ungodly life. Now, though we're not saved by works, at least we should do no evil. And Jesus said, go until He gave us a commission to go and tell others. So that's how our lives should be. Out of love, not out of... It's the call of love. If you don't know how to go and witness to people, you are a witness. If you live the life of God according to the word and on purpose, you are a witness. One church, they frowned on prosperity, and it happened to be a Baptist church, a good one. But I said, you know, in the course, I knew what they were, how they saw things because of what God gave me to share. In the course of my message, the Lord had me to say that you are prosperity. You can do whatever Jesus did. You were transformed. You were renewed. You are designed to do everything Jesus did, because everything Jesus did, from walking on water to raising the dead, causing the blind to see and the dumb to hear, all of it He did as a man believing God by His faith. He wasn't a magic man. He didn't do it because He was the Son of God. The only thing His position as the Son of God did for us, He was sinless. And He qualified to be our Savior because He became a man. And even in being a Savior, He did that as a man also. He just happened to be the Son of God, because God did it Himself. He loved us enough. He didn't send a holy angel to die for us. He sent His only begotten Son. In other words, He became a man. God became a living, breathing, full-functioning man to die in our place, to save us from our sins, which happen to be our fault. And when people reject that, they reject the only way they have, the only chance they have to live forever. People go to hell because they rejected salvation. They broke God's law. They had a sin debt. God paid it with His own blood. Jesus laid His life down. He became a man, and he died for us and saved us. And now God recognizes us through Him. And all the other religious, all of them, and all the things that man say against it, is satanic. All of it. Every cotton-picking religion other than Jesus Christ as our Savior is a bald-faced lie. It's a step of the wide road. Anytime you believe something other than Jesus, you're walking on the broad road. It's the broad way, not the one in New York. This road is huge. This road is not the narrow way. The narrow path is it's only as wide as Jesus' wide open arms. A trail that leads to heaven, Jesus Christ. All the other roads and all the other opinions, they come from Satan, all of them. The Muslim religion, Satan. Hindu, Satan. All of it. Even the ancestral worship that a lot of tribes and Indian tribes and Asian tribes, African tribes, all of it is satanic. All of it. And they all have some, they teach some form of honor. But everything that goes around Jesus Christ, everybody that do so, and no matter what mask they're wearing, no matter where they come from, no matter what race they are, no matter what age they are, God loves these people, but they are wrong. And they're traveling the wide road. In fact, they're thieves and robbers because they have sought another way other than Jesus Christ. And they looked at the holy blood of Jesus as worthless. And that's their only lifeline. So, Jesus is the only way out of this. And because he's the only way, and people are deceived, and Satan has, sometimes there's nobody, there are no Christians around where there are people who will believe. So guess what happened? Jesus appears to him, to them himself. He can do that. But once that happens, they better believe him. And those that will believe, he will appear to them. They are earnestly worshiping God through the veil of whatever religion they have. But their heart is salvageable and God knows it. So he appears to them. But if they harden their heart, they won't believe. Even our children grow up in a Christian home with Christian parents and go to a Christian church. That doesn't mean they're going to be a Christian. Only the ones who love God for themselves remain. So when this rapture happens, and it can be in a moment now, when it happens, people are going to wonder. A lot of people that said they were Christians are going to be left. And a lot of people that from other places are going to be gone. And the reason I say places, they're in pockets of the world where there are no Christians, but they became Christians. They heard the word through media, through TV, through satellite, through radio. And sometimes Jesus appeared to them. So the way this thing is going to turn out looking, you know, there are Muslims that will have cousins who will have been raptured. But their cousins got saved and believed on Jesus. And some people that don't know this may think that they're Muslims, but they're not. So they're going to be people from every walk of life, of every age group, from every region of the earth. There will be people who are raptured out. Because God is kind of, he's coming back to get his Christian people who truly believe on him. Now remember, Jesus said, many will come to me in that day saying, Lord, Lord, and I'm going to turn and say, I never knew you. Now check this out. When people die, they go to Christian churches and they speak the Christian language. They do the Christian things. But they go to, they in their own heart, they also compromise. And the Lord knows it. And then they die individually. Well, they don't go to heaven because they selected another path. They got in the forms of sin and deception and rebellion. Jesus is not just our Savior. He is also the captain of the Lord's host. He's not going to let any form of corruption in heaven. It doesn't matter where you come from, even if you believed on it, because what are we doing with the salvation that we've been given? Do we let it slip? Do we go back to, now in Paul's day, in his writing, if you read Colossians chapter 2, the Jews was trying to get them to blend the law with faith in Jesus. And say that they're not going to heaven because they're not circumcised. And Paul explained many times, not just in Colossians, but other books too, that if circumcision is why you're saved, you're not going to heaven because it's the blood of Jesus only. And if you say, well, it's the blood of Jesus and my works, then what are you saying? The only reason we go to heaven is because we've received salvation by faith. We heard the word, it formed faith in our hearts, and we agreed with it. We believed it. We spoke it. We said, I am saved. I believe on Jesus Christ. I believe his blood washed my sins away personally. And what happens then? Your spirit man is made brand new. And then here comes Satan. Well, look, you're short-sighted. You don't know what you're talking about. You still have to be circumcised. And some people make a big deal out of baptism. And you have to do it this way. It's not by works. It's by faith. Baptism is telling the world publicly that I identify with Jesus. He rose for me. He died for me. And now my life is dead to sin, and I am alive to God through Jesus Christ. And you're baptized. It's your testimony. It's not just a dead ritual. But even the act of being baptized doesn't save you. Only the blood of Jesus saves you. The act of being baptized is a symbol that you are saved. You're telling the world, I identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not just the death and the burial, but he got up. And because he got up, I am justified. My sins washed away. I'm not, hell doesn't own me anymore. And I don't have to wear Satan's tattoo. He can keep his nasty mark. I don't want his smudge on my skin. I don't need his economy. I don't need anything from him. I don't even want him around me. You know, and even in ministry, I won't receive money from if people won't, if it comes with strings attached. Just like Abraham rejected money from the king of Sodom. He said, I don't want anything, only what the men ate, that they'll keep that. Because they were warriors, they helped fight, and they were able to eat after they won their war. But the king of Sodom, he didn't want anything of his. And that's important. Sometimes people take money from the wrong people. I know that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the just, for the children of God. Well, see, remember, the meek will inherit the whole earth. See, when these people go to hell, everything here will be recovered by God's people, all the land and everything else. But everything's going to get burned up and reborn. But you'll still have the land and the resources. And over time, you can make it like you want to make it. God loves us. And we have a great salvation is great. It's far reaching. Over time, you're going to be able to do things that you never thought possible. In one broadcast, we covered what kind of person learned in 1,000 years and then 2,000 years. And then all the way up to 7,000. How many PhDs can you receive? Not only from the knowledge that man has. We can receive and understand the best of man, what man knows, but we're going to ever be learning what God knows. So our salvation is far reaching. It's deep. It runs deep and it goes high. We have time. We're going to learn forever. So I want everybody to know him and not be deceived. Deception is not of God. Lack of knowledge is not of God. Even laziness was never of God. But we have access to the Holy One through the Holy One. And for that, I thank the Lord. And I fully intend to do all I can do until I am raptured out. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus, only Jesus, is our Lord.